time to talk. Celtics.
Throw a step blocked by Jaylen Brown.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics
Show. Over the shoulder pass for Al Horford for the two-hand slam.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Celtics Show. Matt McCarthy in for Murray. Chris Gasper's alongside Tyler Milliken producing. And you, 617-779-0985. That wasn't fun. This West Coast trip, not at all enjoyable for the Bruins. Not the Bruins, the Celtics. The Bruins are out west as well.
Yeah, Bruins are having a little more success, no?
Slightly more success. Just a smidge. I don't feel too good about the Bruins either. Maybe we can get to them later on. But yeah, Chris, that didn't go so well. Your thoughts on the Celtics team, the state of the Celtics, a 1-4 road trip. And they've got Milwaukee and Golden State coming up this week. I'm sure that will be delightful.
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, now there does seem to be more of a sentiment to go with something that I wrote about, which is that you have to make some significant changes to the roster. And I don't think going into this trip, McCarthy, I thought it was an opportunity for the Celtics to maybe prove a point to Brad Stevens in terms of, hey, keep us together. And I know that Jaylen Brown's not playing in these games, but last night, you're looking at it, and there's no Devin Booker. There's no DeAndre Ayton. So they're without two of their three best players. You have two of your best three in Tatum and Marcus Smart, and you were blown off the court. And Marcus Smart was 1 of 13, 0 of 5 from 3, and had 0 assists in 31 minutes of play. So you tell me where this team is headed, and you tell me why after now we're at, I don't even know, I've lost track what the game count is, but they were 36-36 last year. They're 13-14 this year. They were 2-4 in the playoffs last year, including the play-in game. So somebody can add that all up, and it tells you where they are. They're like a forever 500 team. Remember my buddy Kevin Paul DuPont would write about the forever 500s, the Hartford Whalers? That's your Boston Celtics, the forever 500s.
Chris, this isn't working. It's not working. And I'm done, you know, kind of banging my head against the wall and hoping that it's going to work. These are some dark times for the Celtics. I don't know if I felt this bad about the direction of the Celtics in 15 years. I think you have to go back to the mid-2000s to find a time that it was last this at least dark for the Celtics. They got to sell at the deadline. You got to really start thinking about blowing this up. They're going nowhere, okay? It's time to start accumulating assets again. The Celtics should be open for sale. I like Dennis Schroeder. I like that signing. Sell him. Trade him at the deadline. Marcus Smart, at this point, I'd take pennies on the dollar. Just get him out of here. If anybody's insane enough to give you anything of any value for the collection of first-round picks who have done nothing, Nesmith, Langford, sell him. I don't care. And you know what? Maybe, just maybe, I'd start listening on Brown and Tatum at this point.
Really?
Because you're not building a championship contender with this core. I'm willing to start talking about the future, and I'm not talking about the immediate future. I'm thinking about the long haul here, because this thing, this core, this group, it's not working. Now, I don't think there are any easy answers as to how you build the next great championship contender, which is why I'm starting to think about 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road. I'm almost to that point here. I don't see this going in a good direction. I don't think there are any easy answers. Well, you peel off this one player, you get player X, and all right, now we're off and running. Or we've got this great draft pick coming up that's going to be a top five pick, and you know we're going to get the next great piece, and we're going to move on here. There are no easy answers here. So, yeah, I'm really looking at the future and not the immediate future. I'm looking at the distant future now. That's the first time I finally considered this as a Celtics fan. This isn't working. Start thinking about some hard decisions.
So as part of that, if you want to go that far, I mean, I'm still in the camp of peel off Smart, because I think out of the core three guys, he is the guy that it's, I think, easiest for the Celtics to part
sure.
with. And I'm banking on sort of addition by subtraction, which is not to put, I'm not putting it all on Smart, but I'm curious. I want to see how Tatum and Brown function without him, without, you know, his ego being around. And with, I mean, he has a very large presence with the Celtics. He's the longest tenured guy. He's an emotional guy. He's a former lottery pick. You know, I think he casts a little bit of a shadow over those guys from a leadership standpoint, intentionally or not. So I want to see what happens if you take him out of the mix, because one of the hardest things to do is get two young all-stars. They've done that part. Now the question is, like, why can't they get more out of them? Could it be because they're not compatible together? It certainly could. But before I blow it up by moving one of those two guys, I got to make absolutely positively sure that I can't make it work with the two of them and just a better supporting cast. And I think the only way to know that is to peel off Marcus Smart here, which you can't do until January. I believe it's the 17th because he signed this extension, because they signed him to this extension in the offseason. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you're going to see any major moves for them until, you know, late January. So there could be another month of this.
They're not going to move Smart. They're not. They just signed him to the contract. But I hope they do, because that is the first move. It's the first move to be made. And yes, you need to make all other moves before you look at Brown and Tatum, because they're the only two pieces that you have, Chris.
Yes,
they're
yeah.
the only real assets that you have.
Oof, that hurts.
Think about where you were 9, 10 years ago now. What, 2012, 2013, the Nets trade? The long buildup. Mm. You're at the end of it, and you have Brown and Tatum to show for it. Now, that's a little something, but it's not everything that you thought you'd have to show for it, right?
No, it's not. I mean, think about what is this, Romeo Langford's third year?
Yep.
So think about where you were in like 2019, right? Where it's like, okay, you know, we have all these assets and, oh, we, you know, we're going to have, or 2018 even, going 2018-19 season at the start of that season. You know, you're like, okay, we're coming off an Eastern Conference Finals appearance. We're going to get our team, you know, healthier, and we're in pretty good shape. We have what we think is going to be a high lottery pick from Sacramento, and we have Memphis's high lottery pick. Think about where it's gone from there.
Ugly. Absolutely ugly. So, again, that's why I'm starting to think about the real future here. Like, you need to take a good, hard, honest look at this Celtics team and say, what do they really have? What do they have to show for the Nets trade? What do they have to show for this rebuild? It makes moments like 2019 so frustrating, where you go to the Eastern Conference Finals, granted, you know, in the bubble, 2019-2020.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they, you know, they didn't improve at the deadline. They just chose not to. Oh, wait till next year. Wait till next year. Well, you know what? Next year has finally arrived, and you don't have a lot to show for it. You have two pieces that I think likely might be incompatible.
Okay.
Your lead piece, I think, is that Duke thing. It's just, I don't know if he's a killer. I don't know if he's a true winner. And what do you do at that point in the NBA if your number one, your alpha, isn't a true killer? I don't know what you do. I don't know where you go from there, because trading Jason Tatum doesn't get you a great return. That's the thing about the Nets trade, is it was such a fleecing. You don't,
yeah.
When you trade superstars in the NBA, you almost never win that trade. So what, are you going to trade Jason Tatum but then get seven pieces that are going to help you build the next great Celtics? It's not going to happen.
So then you'd have to move Brown then.
But do you win that trade either?
I think you could. So I'll throw a hypothetical trade out there, and I don't want to move Brown, but I'm just saying hypothetically, and I haven't run this through the trade machine, but I think the numbers would work. What if you sent Jaylen Brown, and there's been a little reporting around this from, you know, sort of fringier NBA rumor sites, but that Sacramento is interested in Brown. So what if you had a deal that was like Jaylen Brown, Josh Richardson, Juancho Hernan Gomez — this is mostly to match up salaries — and you got back Harrison Barnes, Tyrese Halliburton, and you had to take Buddy Hield's contract?
No.
You wouldn't do that?
I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I mean,
because I think that's the type of deal you could get and win. Halliburton's 21 years old. He's a real point guard. He's a lottery pick. He shoots 40% from three. He has some upside there. Harrison Barnes is 29. He's a good player, but he's never going to be, you know, an all-star. He's good. He's a very good player. And then Buddy Hield gives you some shooting that you need. He's grossly overpaid, but he can shoot from deep. So if you made that deal, you're sort of banking on the pieces around Tatum being better. And you're, oh, by the way, you know, Celtics fans, your guy Marcus Smart's not even in that deal, so you still have Marcus Smart on the team.
The problem is, and one of the reasons I have a hard time doing a deal like that, is because I like Brown more than Tatum. I like Tatum's ability more, but I like Brown's makeup more. But that's the problem, is that it's a talent league, but your alpha needs to be a killer. And I don't think Jason Tatum's a killer. So I mean, Brown's my favorite player on the Celtics. So maybe that's me.
No, I'm with you. I agree.
Maybe that's me, you know, being emotional and not, you know. Frankly, I think the Celtics have been emotional, because I think the Celtics' favorite player on the Celtics is Marcus Smart, and that's why he's still here.
Yes, I would agree. So the only reason I bring up that deal is just Tatum to me now is sort of like this generation's Paul Pierce. To your point, like on his own, He's not good enough to elevate what's around him. And how, but if you hold on to him and you get a real alpha, a.k.a. Yep. Kevin Garnett, and you bring in the right pieces, then I think he can be – I mean, Pierce was the best player in the NBA Finals when they won it.
Sure.
So I think Tatum – and we've seen Tatum against – he clearly gets up to go against Kevin Durant and LeBron. He can elevate when he needs to. You just don't get it every night like a Kobe or Michael Jordan would give you or, you know, Durant. You're not getting it every night from Tatum. The other issue I have with Tatum, or I should say concern, is at this stage in his career, and I've said this about Tatum and Brown, they're sort of they're same ages, similar ages. They're on the same accomplishment timeline. So it seems like Tatum has a hard time functioning when there's another potential number one option on that night on the floor. And I gave the stat on Felger and Maz yesterday that in last night was Brown's 14th game he'd missed. In the previous 13, 8 of those games, Jason Tatum had 30-plus points. On the year, he has 10 30-plus point games for Jason Tatum. 8 of them have come when Jalen Brown is out of the lineup, and he has another game when Brown was out where he scored 29. That's alarming to me.
Yeah, Brown and Tatum just don't work together, and I'm becoming increasingly aware that that might be the reality. Now, just in regards to Paul Pierce, and maybe this is revisionist history or me romanticizing Paul Pierce, because he's probably, you know, my favorite Celtic that I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I think Pierce showed you more that he could be that killer before Garnett and Allen arrived. And maybe this is me looking back on, like, you know, right in Harrington's face, which is my favorite call from Mike of all time.
What about wearing the bandage and crying like a baby after that game against the Pacers?
I just kind of forget about that.
Yeah.
You know, just shove that to the side. Yeah. Again, romanticizing.
I think you are.
Or Pearson game 3 against the Nets in 2001 or 2002 or whatever it was. The 2001-2002 season. I'm probably romanticizing Pierce a little bit, but I feel like Pierce showed you more than perhaps Tatum has. Tatum has shown you the ability.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's shown you the killer mentality that Pierce showed in flashes before Garnett and
I think they're very similar. I think Pierce was all about his stats. When Doc showed up here, you know, he talked to Paul and was like, I can make you a better player. And Paul scoffed at him until he didn't, you know, and finally listened to him. But I mean, those two butted heads like a lot because Pierce was like, and then Pierce, the same Paul Pierce that told Jackie McMullen, I'm the classic case of a great player on a bad team.
Was he wrong?
He wasn't wrong, but he still said that. It sort of rings similar to like Jason Tatum's like, I read somewhere where I was selfish. I did this, this, and the other in the fourth quarter. That seems unselfish to me. I think they're very similar.
Is Tatum had more to work with than Pierce?
Well, maybe.
I would argue he has.
Maybe Tatum and Brown are this generation's
Pierce and Walker.
And Antoine Walker. That's a scary thought.
That's an insult to Jalen Brown. And I loved Antoine.
Oh, it's totally.
I don't think I ever forgave Danny Ainge for trading Antoine. I loved Dan.
You weren't a Yuri Welsh guy?
Not a Yuri Welsh guy. Don't you bring up that name on
Rape
these
friends?
Don't you dare, Chris Gasper. You want to get me enraged? You want to trigger me? You bring up the name Yuri Welsh. Don't you dare. Apologize.
Milliken. Yuri Welsh wore Danny's number.
Milliken. Make Chris apologize to me.
For all our sakes, Gasper, please.
Chris?
I'm not going to do it.
Unbelievable.
We're going to
take a break. We have one open phone line right now, 617-779-0985. We're going to take a spot break here so I can go after Chris like like Jim Everett went after Jim Rome back
Chris
in the
Mills?
Day. Yeah. Don't you. It's the Sports of Celtic show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Sports Hub Celtic
Game
Show.
3, got it.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So Celtics fans, you know that roller coaster. They've nights like this where you lose to the Lakers, it's the bottom of the world. Like, what is your pitch to them that this team can figure it out with this group?
Well, you know, like, let's get healthy first. That's the first pitch is, you know, we really need to get healthy. But, you know, I know you can't wait always to get everybody healthy. You got to play the game tonight. But, you know, I think it's a good compliment to the team. I thought, you know, I've watched like I said, I watch games every night, and I thought that was the best game the Lakers have played by far this year. They really played with a passion, and you know, you could tell that they did not want to lose to the Celtics again. And their defense was intense. They got out and pressured the ball, and you know, when Jason started off the way he did, they weren't going to let him continue to do that. And I thought the Laker defense and the Laker performance was their best one of the year. So, I mean, that's a compliment. You're going to run into some of those games. But, you know, I didn't think we played our best game. I didn't think defensively or offensively it was one of our best games.
It's Danny Ainge. After the Lakers game, former Celtics president of basketball operations, Matt McCarthy, Chris Gasper, Tyler Milliken playing all your late 2000s pop punk hits there.
I can't help it. This is my age.
Please do.
This is my era.
No. Keep it coming. I'm, you know, a few years older than you, Tyler, but I do respect it. So keep it coming.
Trust me, we know.
That is, and Gasper's like, what the hell is going on here? I have no idea.
I was just honestly calculating in my head. I'm trying to figure out how old you guys are and whether it's like biologically possible for me to be old enough to be your dad's.
Milliken.
23.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Easily. How old are you, McCarthy?
30.
No. Well, like, I would have had to be a really early bloomer.
let's not go any farther down that road. Hotlines lining up. Our bosses are saying, please stop this conversation right now. You know what I'd also like to stop?
What?
The excuse making from Danny Ainge.
This is personal for you.
We actually just spent the last 5 minutes talking about the sports psychology of the matter.
I cede the floor to you on this because I know this is personal.
Yes. No, as we found out, when you're 10 years old, and when you're in, I think your prime as a sports fan, things that happen to you, you never, ever let that go. Like, we started the show off today talking about the comparisons between the 2001 Patriots and the 2021 Patriots. I refuse to allow any comparisons because nothing can ever compare, in my mind, to the 2001 Patriots. And yes, when I was 10 years old, 11, 12, whatever it was, Danny Ainge traded Antoine Walker for Yuri Welch and Rafe LaFrentz, which I never forgave him for.
You're forgetting Chris Mills.
And Chris Mills. So here I am beating the bag out of him 20 years later for it because of that trade. Also because I think the excuse making from Danny Ainge is so self-serving, Chris. Oh, well, they just need to get healthy. Really? You just need to get healthy? That's the only problem with the Celtics team? No. The problem with the Celtics team is that after this long rebuild that Danny Ainge presided over, that Danny Ainge, you know, was the president of basketball operations for. All you have to show at the end is Tatum and Brown, and it's not working. And it's a reflection on Danny Ainge. So, of course, he's saying they just need to get healthy. No. They need a hell of a lot more, but you're not going to hear that from Danny Ainge, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I also sort of wonder, I'm just going to throw this out there, McCarthy. Do you think he's protecting not only his own legacy, but do you think he's protecting Brad?
Sure. Well, Brad's a part of his legacy, right?
Yeah.
It's a big part of his legacy.
But do you think he's protecting Brad in terms of Brad being in this job? Because I don't, you know, the last time Marcus Smart was up for a contract, it took a lot longer for him to get it than it did from Brad this time. Remember? I mean, remember going out, like they were in Vegas and Ainge kind of broke the ice with Marcus Smart, who was out there. But remember how long they let him languish before they gave him that like 4-year, $52 million deal?
Chris, I did a number of weeks of shows at the time on Nobody Wants Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember it vividly.
And that was Danny. Whereas with Brad, you know, they signed him really quickly. So I wonder if there's an idea here of basically Danny trying to protect Brad as a new president of basketball operations, even though maybe Danny doesn't really agree with some of the moves Brad has made. But he's not going to, you know, say that. He's like, I like Brad. I hired Brad. I'm going to try and protect him. So I'm going to play the card I always played when I was the guy, basically saying, well, you know, you can't judge the team because we haven't been healthy.
You're never going to be healthy. This is the NBA. And you know what really kind of bugged me about this West Coast trip, of all the many things? The Suns didn't have Ayton. They didn't have Booker. Clippers didn't have what? Kawhi and Paul George
the
other
night? Kawhi or Paul George. In fact, when you beat the Trailblazers, they didn't have Dame, and they didn't have Anfernee Simons, and they didn't have Nasir Little.
And it turns out that McCollum has a collapsed lung.
Yeah.
So 1-4 against a bunch of teams without their best players. You've become the team that teams get healthy against. Now, we don't need to play Ayton and Booker.
You've become the get right team.
You have become the get right team. You're 13-14. You're under 500. This is who you are. This is who you are. So people around the Celtics, Celtics fans, you got to wake up. This is the reality of the matter. And I think Celtics fans are starting to come around on it. I do. I don't know if the organization's coming around on it yet, and that's my concern. You've heard from us. Let's hear from you. 617-779-0985. John's in Attleboro to lead us off on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. So, first of all, I find it interesting that Danny still said we and not they for we need to get healthy. But the reason I called was I agree with you, McCarthy. I like Brown better than Tatum, and I was saying for a long time, oh, I want to build more around Brown at this point than Tatum because I don't think he would ever lead us to a championship. But I'm concerned about Brown ever staying on the court and being healthy enough. So my question is, what would it take to get Damon Lillard? And I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
It would. I think it would take Jaylen Brown. You know, I like Damian Lillard a ton. I'm just a little concerned about going down this road again. And he's better than both these guys you've had here, Kemba. And
yep,
I think he's better than Kyrie.
I agree with that, too.
But you're going down this road again of relying heavily upon, you know, he'll be 32 in the summer, relying heavily upon a scoring point guard. And I think as those guys tend to get, like, up in age and they get older, you know, they lose a little bit, they're not quite as effective. So I would not be upset if they made a move for Lillard, but I think now what you're doing is really compressing your window. You're basically saying, like, okay, Damian Lillard is 31. He'll be 32 next year. We're going to say we have a three-year window to win a championship with him.
Lillard might be my favorite player in the NBA.
Wow,
I think he is.
Really?
I love Lillard. I think the guy's a killer.
He's
a complete and total killer. I think he's a badass. He's 31. He's played a lot of games. He's logged a lot of minutes. That scares me off. It does. I mean, they need a guy like him. And maybe not necessarily a scoring point guard, but they need somebody with that mentality. You know, I mean, for years, like, it's the laziest take. Well, they need a Kevin Garnett. Okay, yeah, go out and get a top, you know, I don't know, where you'd put Kevin Garnett in the history of the NBA. Go out and get a bona fide Hall of Famer.
He was a culture changer, though. All those guys say that. Doc says the guy who changed the culture was KG.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but those guys don't grow on trees because he changed the culture because he was also a bona fide Hall of Famer, you know, one of the greatest players in the history of the game. And sure, he brought that culture with him. So, like, okay, yeah, good luck. Go out and find the next KG. Lillard has a little of that in it. I think he's an absolute killer. I don't know if he's, you know, if he has KG's personality, but he's a killer on the floor. They need that. It just concerns me. 31 years old.
31.
If he were 27, I'd drive Jason Tatum to Portland if it meant, like, I love it. He's my favorite player in the league. It just doesn't work. I don't think you can give Brown up for him.
And here's the other thing I'd raise on that. And again, I love Lillard too. If they make the move, I mean, I'll say, hey, Brad Stevens, this is ballsy. Like, you're playing to win a championship in the next 3-4 years. You know, I might not necessarily think it's the most wise move, but I get it. You know, I kind of like being brave like that. But do we feel like Jason Tatum functions well with a scoring point guard, with a shot first point guard who's going to take a lot of his shots?
Would Brown be a better fit with Lillard?
Probably, yeah.
He probably would be.
Yeah. But is Lillard and Brown, is that good enough to win a championship or contend for one?
No.
Yeah,
I don't
need
a third piece.
Yeah. Whereas Tatum, Lillard, and, you know, a drop-off in the East, you might have a shot. It's a really difficult decision. And I think basically what this discussion encapsulates is that there are no... Even the bold strokes for the Celtics come with a great deal of risk. Like, there are no easy moves for them. There's no easy way to get from where they are, which is a middling team, to contention. There's no easy way to do it.
There is no easy path for them. There is no obvious way for them to do it. I think you are spot on about that, Chris. 617-779-0985. We got one open phone line right now, so grab it. In regards to trades, how you feeling about Ben Simmons? Would you like it? Would you dislike it? Let's get into that next. It's a Sports Hub Celtics show. I'm McCarthy in for Murray. Gasper alongside here on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's time to talk Celtics.
Man, hotter than fish grease now.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Celtics Show. Matt McCarthy in for Jim Murray today. Chris Casper alongside, 617-779-0985. We were talking about trade possibilities in that last segment because I just think the Celtics need to get to this point where they need to make major changes here. This is trending in completely the wrong direction, and it's been trending that way for quite some time. Is Ben Simmons that trade? Yes, no, Chris Casper? What say you?
I would say yes, if you can do it and keep Tatum and Brown. I think he would be a good third banana because he doesn't really want to shoot, and he's every bit the defender that Marcus Smart is, and he's a pass first point guard. I just don't think you could get him without putting one of your better pieces in the deal. And at that point, do I want to swap a Tatum or a Brown and say one of my two best players is a player who can't shoot? No.
The contract scares me off. I think the player is a good fit for Brown and Tatum.
I would agree.
But the contract is bad.
But how the heck do you get him without moving Brown or Tatum? That's my question.
Well, you'd probably have to involve a third team. I think you can make it work with Horford's contract and Smart. I'd have to double check on that. But let me tell you, there ain't no way Al Horford's going back to Philadelphia. Something tells me the Sixers are not taking on that deal. So
here's one that's interesting to me, and this guy's also not a great shooter, but he's in line, I'd say, to be maybe the most improved player in the NBA this year, and I think he's third in the league in triple doubles. If you had to move off of like Brown and you got DeJounte Murray and one of the Spurs wings back, one of their young wings, Keldon Johnson, who's played well, or Devin Vassell or somebody, you know, like that, would you do that deal? Because Murray is a point guard, he's up there in assists, you know, he's getting better. He's not the greatest shooter in the world. From the outside, but he's still getting better as a player, and he's about 25 years old.
So if we're talking about breaking up the Celtics, and really breaking up the Celtics, which to me means trading one of Brown or Tatum, because I think there are legitimate questions as to whether or not those players can coexist, which one are you trading? Because I feel like most of the discussion revolves around Brown, because Tatum is the more talented guy. Would you still trade Brown? Would that be your option?
I like Brown better than Tatum, but I have to acknowledge that I think that the Celtics, where they're at, would be more likely to build around Tatum, and that and I just think that it's hard to say because I still think Brown's improving at a faster rate than Tatum, but Tatum's the more naturally talented player, and in the NBA, talent usually wins out.
617-779-0985. Ed's in Woburn. You're up next. Hey, Ed.
Hey, I think the you know, my first concern is let's go to the ownership here. My always take on the Celtics owners, they're a little too happy to be owners of the Celtics. And, you know, they've had Danny kind of run this operation for the last, you know, 20 years. And, you know, they're going to have to start really getting a little more involved in making some cutthroat moves. And Chris, I think if you want to look at like a potential salvage, look what the Bulls did. They stunk for the last few years. They went out, they signed DeRozan, they actually got themselves, they signed Ball.
Lonzo, yeah.
A pass-first point guard. They got Vucevic via the trade, and they put together a team. The problem with, I thought, the way Danny put this team together after the Hayward Kyrie, he tried to put just great shooters or scorers out there. You know, he had two of them in-house, go get Kemba Walker. The Bulls are a team. You got the center. You got the two wing forwards that have completely different type of games. You have the pass first guard. And then they have three. I mean, they have Jalen Green starts for them, crying out loud.
So, Javonte Green, right?
Javonte Green. They have the way they put together that team. That should be the template. And so to say, like, you have to blow it up completely, yeah, you might have to trade Jalen Brown, but you get a different player that, like, a wing. Like, he's going to collapse along now. But, like, say you got the guy from Portland.
C.J. McCollum?
Yeah, and Ed, we're going to let you go on that. But I
like McCollum, but I don't think he's like good enough at this point.
I think roster construction, though, is a fair criticism of the Celtics. I mean, it doesn't feel like these pieces have fit. And I guess the real question is, just in the context of the Celtics moving forward, is do Brown and Tatum fit? And I'm surprised we haven't heard this yet today. I'm sure we'll hear it at some point. But, well, Jaylen Brown wasn't playing, so you can't really judge this West Coast trip. Are they really that much better with Brown on the court? And again, I really like Jaylen Brown, but they're 7-6 without Brown this year. They're 6-8 with him. So I think that speaks to Brown and Tatum not really working together. And you were just mentioning a few minutes ago, Tatum's stats with Brown on the court and with Brown off the court.
Yeah, I mean, so again, Tatum has 10 30-plus point games this year. And this was going into last night, and he didn't score 30, you know, last night. And he has 10 of them. 8 of them have come in games that were missed by Jaylen Brown. And then there's another game in there where he scored 29 points when Jaylen Brown was out. So there's 8, you know, almost 9 of his what would be 11 30-plus point games if I count the 29-point one, if I do some Felger math. 29 is in the 30s.
I was told there'd be no math.
Yeah, let's do Felger math. Well, okay. You know, what was it he said? 12 is in the teens?
Yeah, the most asinine take ever issued.
12 is in the teens. So
and that's
Felger
saying
math,
something.
You know, we'll put 29 in there. So we'll say he had, you know, look, of basically like 30-plus point games, we'll say 11. 9 of them have come with Jaylen Brown out using Felger math.
Do you think the Celtics have the guts to make a bold move like that?
No.
To break it up?
No.
I don't think they do either.
I think they have the guts to move on from Smart if we get to the trade deadline in February.
I'm not even convinced of that.
Really?
No.
I think they won't have a choice. That's the easy. And again, people misunderstood this, you know, and I almost just sent out a tweet with the, you know, Black Panther, you know, is this your king? You know, to the Marcus Smart stance. I was like, I'm not going to do it.
You
know?
I think you should have done it.
I'm not going to do it.
You spent the whole show antagonizing Patriots fans, so you might as well just antagonize Celtics fans too.
No, I didn't do it. But my point of the column I wrote was not trade Marcus Smart. He's the problem. Like he's the focal point for all their issues. My point is he's the easiest guy to peel off out of the three. And that's like the most conservative choice of changing. So to the point, the whole thing we've talked about now for 45 minutes, this core isn't working. Okay. So I have three guys in it. Who's the most sensible, logical guy to peel off first?
Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart.
But they haven't done it.
I know. And so I think you owe it to yourself to do that. Peel him off first. Then you can say if Tatum and Brown work, and if they don't work, then you can make some mega move that really is sort of like blowing it all up.
Scott's in Newton. You're up next. Hey, Scott.
Gentlemen, two questions. Chris, don't be a fan. Come on. You're going to trade away nobody to get Ben Simmons? It's not going to work. You know better than that, first of all. And second of all, tell me the last move this management has made, impact move, free agent or draft, within the last 5 years. There's a problem. It starts at the top, and we never want to blame the owner. The owner, everything with him is always wonderful. Everything's so rosy. It's not rosy. Okay, they've had this problem for a few years now, and they don't want to fix it. And they need to fix it, because if you don't fix it, it's going to fester.
Urgency is a problem. Urgency is a problem with the Celtics organization.
I think, you know, and this is something we've seen before, and I used to get on Ben Cherington for this when he was general manager of the Red Sox. There is a fine line.
Hold on, be careful. Milliken's back there. I think he probably loved Ben Cherington.
There's a fine line between patience and obstinance. And I think right now the Celtics are on the wrong side of that line. I think they're saying that just be patient. Just be patient. You know, Tatum and Brown are still young. We'll get healthy. This will work. This will work. I think now they're in obstinance territory where they are just refusing to admit reality, which is that this team, as currently constituted, will not be a contender.
Junior's in Rhode Island. Hey, Junior.
Hey, guys. First time caller, long time listener. I've been sitting on this take for a long time, and I'm surprised no one else has it. So I'm all about Jason Tatum and his one fatal flaw. The reason why he makes his team better is because when he decides to go solo or dribble or take to the hole, he has to look down to dribble, and it affects his vision. So as soon as he flips the switch to drive to the hole, people double team him. He can't get out of it. Once in a while, he'll kick to an open guy on the three, but he never sees anyone in the paint because he has to look down at the ball. Fundamental basketball, he has no vision. and it makes it look like he has no basketball IQ.
Okay, Junior. They're very technical.
I'd say a little strong, but he's not wrong. Tatum does have a habit of when he drives to the rim, he does put his head down. Now, I don't know if it's because I don't think he's looking at the ball, but he puts it down sort of for leverage and to get his shoulder lower so he can either get his shoulder into a defender or get around a defender. Junior's not wrong. He does put his head down a lot when he drives to the basket.
617-779-0985. Full phone lines right now, so when somebody drops off, you pick up the phone and join us. It is the Sports Hub Celtics show. Matt McCarthy in for Jim Murray, Chris Casper alongside here on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub Celtic Show drives the lane.
No. Scoring and the foul.
The Sports Hub Celtic Show and Boston's home for the Celtics. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You got to look at take the good with the bad, and the way we played on the first two games of the trip, it's literally three games ago we were playing a totally different style with the effort and the heart and intensity, and so it's been inconsistent for sure. It was just here, and it's been here for most of the year, the way we played, whether we make shots or not, and so you can't let that affect us, and we have a ton of games to play left, honestly.
Ime Udoka last night and the inconsistency of the Celtics. I think this song is for Chris. He's been in a mood today. He really has been. It's been unbelievable, just antagonizing Patriots fans all day long. A lot of negativity.
Some people would say all season long.
Yeah, no, really, I would say all season long.
Trust me, just quickly, I wish I felt the way you guys all felt that Mac Jones was Tom Brady 2.0.
Don't let me in
Chris.
I do. Don't you dare.
I wish if that were my honest opinion, my life would be so much easier. Oh, I honestly wish, I wish I felt that way.
See, and now Chris is antagonizing me because I don't feel that way. I actually agree with you. Don't you dare mention Mac Jones in the same breath
okay,
as Tom
Mac
Brady.
Okay, Mac Jones, what sets McCarthy off? Mac Jones, Yuri Welsh.
Yep.
Heim Bloom
says yep. Danny Ainge. Yep. I need to make a list of like things that set off mild-mannered Matt McCarthy.
How long we got? We got until 2 o'clock. We got five questions with Chris Casper coming your way
good.
At 1:50 as always. Love doing that. But it is the Sports Hub Celtic show. You had a thought on Ime Udoka and really just the Celtics overall defense and the way
yeah.
they defended on
You know,
this
I
trip.
Think that some of that frustration from Ime is based on the defense on this trip. And it's funny, I'm listening to the game last night in the fourth quarter and I'm hearing Scal say, you know, well, I'm not really worried. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not really worried about the defense. You know, the issue here is that they shot 36%. Really? Because you got lit up by JaVale McGee. And you're getting lit up by a team that doesn't have two of its three best players in terms of they didn't have Devin Booker, who would have been the best player on the floor. That's right. I said it. The best player on the floor
yes,
last night.
He's better than Tatum.
If he was there and they didn't have Ayton and you're still getting lit up by them. So the defense wasn't an issue. And to a bigger point, overall, defensive rating, the Celtics are still very good. They're in the top 10, tied for 10th with the Heat at 107.9. But on this trip, McCarthy, this five-game road trip, the defensive rating, points per 100 possessions, 119.2, which during the time span of their trip, the last 7 days, would be tied for 28th out of 30 teams in the NBA. The only teams with worse defensive ratings during this time period are the Hornets and the Magic, and the Celtics are tied with the Timberwolves. So you can't tell me the defense wasn't an issue last night or wasn't an issue on this trip, especially when you're getting lit up by teams that don't have their best players in the Suns and the Clippers.
I just think it speaks to a mentality that, you know what, everything's fine. Everything's going to be okay. And whether, you know, Danny Ainge actually believed that this week or not, when he said, well, they just need to get healthy. Whether he actually believes that or not, or whether people with the organization actually believe that or not, or people close to the organization like Scal or what have you, everything is not fine, okay? These are dark, dark times for the Celtics. They are trending in a very, very bad direction. And here at the end of this rebuild, and they've got Brown and Tatum, two pieces that I don't think work together, and that's it. You have no other piece. You have no more draft picks coming. You have no more young players coming through the pipeline. It's Brown and Tatum, and that's it. And those guys aren't good enough to win a championship. So what do you do about it? Just sitting here and pretending like everything's fine, that's not going to work. It's not. These are dark times for the Celtics.
Yeah, and obviously December we knew was going to be a gauntlet. It's not going to get any easier with the Bucks and the Warriors this week at home. I think big picture, you look at it and where the Celtics are at, you know, with the play-in, I still think there's a good chance they're at least in the play-in situation, right? Before the season started, I thought they'd finish fifth or sixth and not have to do the play-in. Now that's not looking good. But big picture, as a Celtics fan, is it better if they, you know, miss the playoffs and end up in the lottery? Like, is that better for this organization long-term? Yes. And that you get that lottery pick that's another asset and you can just sort of figure it out how you want to reconfigure this roster from there?
Yes, absolutely. The worst thing in the NBA is to be in the middle, right?
Yeah.
And the Celtics are in the middle. And what's frustrating about it is if you have two All-Stars, you really shouldn't be in the middle. You should be better than just a 500 team. You should be better than a team that was in the play-in last year. But that's not reality. That's not who you are. You are a middling team who's going to be just somewhere around a play-in team kind of thing. Like that's who you are. Brown and Tatum don't work together. There's not enough depth. The pieces don't work. This is trending in the wrong direction. So I don't know what else to say at this point. You are who you are. And the Celtics have shown us who they are over the last year and a half. David's in Needham. Hey, David.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, what's up,
David?
No, hey, you know, it's like, to me, it's like trying to fix something that isn't broken. You know, the NBA makes so much money and these players make so much money. I think their goal, more or less, is to get to the NBA. You very rarely hear, you know, when I was growing up, I just wanted to win a championship. I think the goal is, you know, just to get to the NBA and make that money. And once they've got theirs, I think it changes. I think their desire, their heart, you know, just, you know, the players are just different to watch the game. You know, it just, what can you do to make these guys want to win a championship?
And you either have it or you don't, right? And I think that's the question.
You can grow into it, though.
Okay.
And I think Pierce grew into it.
You could argue that Pierce grew into it.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys, McCarthy, this is not uncommon in the NBA. A lot of younger guys in the beginning, they're into establishing themselves and establishing their brand. And then they get to a certain point when they've done that, and they're like, I want to win. You know, I want to
say Pierce and Garnett did that, right?
Yeah.
And Allen did that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Garnett was a killer from the jump. But I think there's a lot of players that you can look at who play in the league. You know, I throw Devin Booker in that category. Like, you get to a certain, you want to establish yourself, you want people to recognize you as one of the greats in the game, and then you get to a point where you're like, well, how am I really going to be recognized? Oh, it's by winning. And then that becomes the priority.
90 seconds, no commercials. Quick update on the sports sub headlines, and then we're right back with you. We'll continue the Celtics discussion. You want to put some Pat's thoughts on the board, feel free as well. It's Matt McCarthy in for Jim Murray. Chris Gasper's alongside Gasper and Murray on the sports sub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.